Good day, everybody.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to episode 18 of the Good Day podcast, where Maxie and I talk about our adventures down under.
Yeah, we are 18 podcasts in. Thank you for listening.
Incredible. Thank you all for listening. We are right now in a caravan park, so we're out in the elements. We're not in our studio.
We're not even in the car.
Just sitting outside in Darwin. And so if you hear some background noise, just that's life, guys.
That is life.
Life going by.
Where we left off last time, I think we left you guys on a cliffhanger on whether we'd get on this Mimby Caves tour. So, Corey, what happened with that?
So we pulled up a little bit off-roading to get there. Mimby Caves, we got there, checked in, and then we asked if we could be on the tour. The next morning comes, we go there, and she's like, are you guys American?
No, it was a whole different woman.
Oh, yeah. The woman looked a lot, like, very alike. And she just started talking. We were like, oh, do you have any, like, availability on the tour? She's like, I got 3 coach buses today. I don't know if I can do it. No, I don't think I could do it. And then I said, is there any way you could squeeze us in?
And she was like, yes. She immediately was like, yes. She's but like, because I hear your accents. And yeah. She was happy to hear we were American. And shouted us out in the tour and everything.
Mm-hmm. She was the one leading the tour group, too, which was pretty cool. And yeah. I think she liked us more than anyone.
Yeah, her name was Rosemary. She was a really good tour guide. A local indigenous lady who gave her local knowledge and really interesting stories. And emotional stories about growing up and these caves. And the caves are really, really, really cool. Like, walking down into them, it was like, I felt like I was in Game of Thrones, surrounded by all these rocks.
Exactly. That's exactly how it felt. Like, the rock structures there were more, like, jagged. They said it was an old coral reef that was, like, I think, like, 250 million years old. And it's just incredible to see the just difference in rocks. Like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. We'll put some pictures there because it was really cool.
Yeah, there were, like, dark black rocks, and then we finally went into the cave, and we all had our flashlights, and it was just Corey and I, and then another couple forced their way on, too. She was not going to let them on, but they were like, the other lady told us that we could come, and she just had to let them on, but she rejected a bunch of other people, so we were really lucky to get on this tour, but it was just, like, this group of old, Australians all traveling on that coach bus together. And side note, the coach buses in Australia are like
massive, just
military
off.
Machines. They are not your normal coach bus.
Yeah, it's crazy looking at them, and like a normal coach bus would just get stuck everywhere. Like any of these off-roading trails, just the pitches are too steep. But these things are just military grade off-roading vehicles that can go anywhere.
So yeah, it was me and Corey, this other older couple, and then a whole coach bus of probably like 65 and up, all from Australia traveling. They all signed up for the same tour, and they all got just to know each other.
Yeah, they're all on the tour bus together. We met some people doing a tour before, and they're like, oh yeah, there's like 14-day tours from like Broome to Darwin, or I don't know if that's
like 22-day tours, too.
So they advertise it a bunch, and I think it's a really attractive thing for people who are a little older, that they don't have to drive all this distance, and they can hang out with other people. They get all, like, cooked for, and it's like, a pretty nice thing. But, like, old people, I think they, well, no offense to any of our old listeners, my.
She's not old.
But everyone looked at us weird. I don't know, I thought they were like, oh, what are these two young, like, aliens doing here? Like, why are you guys on the tour? That's how I felt, at least. And they were saying just some weird... They would ask weird questions that I don't really know were appropriate. I don't even remember any of them, but it's just like, they say what they want, you know?
Yeah, they were really unhinged, this group of people. And
oh, I know a perfect example.
Go ahead.
So after the cave tour, Rosie, the host, took us around, or like sat us by like the caves and told us like some stories of her people, and they told about skin names and stuff, and a guy 2 seats over from her, sound asleep, not a care in the world,
and they just say like the craziest things during the tour, and they just kind of sound arrogant or
Yeah, and you almost feel bad because, like, so Rosie was telling us about the stolen generation in Australia, basically, where it was the government's plan to basically whitewash Native Australian Aboriginals. So they wanted to, like, take children from families, brought them to Christian camps and other religious camps to try and just reform their ideas, and just a really terrible thing where, like, basically families were stolen, separated, and all that thing. And the people she's talking about were, like, the people, or the like, older generation of Australia were the people that were doing this. So, like, when they're talking to, like, a 70... This was going on,
like, up until... Like, it wasn't that long ago, basically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, up until 1970, they were taking, children from families and just relocating them and trying to reform them. But it's really sad.
Yeah.
And she told us a story of her... there was a priest in her neighborhood who protected them against people like that. So it was really nice.
Yeah. And then inside the caves, where, like, you can go back pretty far on the tour, and you end up at this, like, big pool of water, and it's really pretty, and there's natural, I think, quartz crystals growing. And she took us into this special room where she said that it has, like, special fertility power because there's a natural quartz that looks like a pregnant woman. At least this is what they say. And she said she, like, healed her infertile friend by bringing her in here and, like, having her pray to the quartz statue. And so obviously everyone on this tour was, like, 65 and up. And then this woman across the darkness of this cave, like, only illuminated by the tour guide's flashlight, I could see her mouthing something to me. And I was just like, I can't make out what she's trying to say to me while our tour guide's talking, so I'm just gonna, like, ignore it, because she's being rude as well. And then as soon as, like, the tour guide was done talking, she came up to me and she was like, "You better be careful." And I was like, "What? I'm married."
And then she didn't know how to react to that. She was like, I'm just saying. It was so weird. Like, I mean, people say the weirdest things sometimes.
Yeah, it's like she just needed something to say. Like, she's just one of those people that had to be making some type of comment and didn't read the room.
Yeah.
But anyways, they just say the craziest things. And they kept cheering for the Bungle Bungles, which was, like, the next destination along this road trip that everyone on the road going in that direction is taking, pretty much. And it was, like, what, 3 hours away?
I just thought they weren't as respectful to the caves as they should have been.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. It was a weird group that...
And they were, like, on to the Bungle Bungles now. Bungle Bungles, Bungle Bungles. And, like, they were rushing this, like, nice tour.
Yeah, and this was just, like, a small tour right off the side of, well, like, 5 kilometers off the side of the road. And it was owned and run by the Aboriginal community who owns that area. So it's not a government place. It's just they do the tours themselves. It's their land. So it's, like, supporting basically, like, a local business equivalent. But instead of, like, giving money to the government, you're giving money to this local community. So I don't know. We saw the people again in the Bungle Bungles, but I don't really think there was much else to say. I mean, we were just like, let's stay away.
But in the cave, this old lady wasn't using her flashlight, and she started to stumble and fall, and I, like, literally swooped in and scooped her basically off the floor.
Yeah, this lady,
she had to have been, like, 78.
She, like, collapsed, basically, and then Maxie went and, like, grabbed her
and then picked her back up, and I was like, "Oh, are you okay?"
And then she didn't say anything.
No, she was like, "Yeah, I'm fine," and didn't even, like, acknowledge that I just, like, rescued her.
Yeah, and the tour guide was handing out lights, didn't take a light, like.
Yeah.
Oh, they
basically, yeah. That was Corey and Mai's entertainment was all the other people on this tour.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, then next we went to the Bungle Bungles, and like Corey said, we ran into the same group, and that lady that was trying to say something to me about the pregnant crystal lady, she started saying something to Corey.
She's like, oh, there's the Connecticut couple again. And I was like, yeah, you followed us. And then I don't think she heard me, but she just didn't say anything.
No, she was like trying to think of something to say. She was like, because I think she like literally has to be saying something like weird all the time.
Yeah, before the Bungle Bungles though, there's really not much on the drive between Broome and Darwin. Well, Broome, there is actually a good amount of stuff, and I thought like we hit all the major highlights.
Yeah, we did.
There was something called the China Wall, which was looked like the Great Wall of China in the middle of nowhere, and
it's like this natural stack of rocks that were white.
Yeah.
In contrast to like the orangey mountain it's sitting on.
Yeah, it's pretty random. There's like,
it's really pretty though.
Yeah, it's really cool, and there's like a little river that goes underneath it. And when we were there, there was two other ladies leaving, and as we were walking down the trail, they just started like yelling. And I thought they were yelling at us. They were just
they were like, it was, we got scared.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? Like, we just passed them. They didn't say anything. What are they seeing that we're not seeing? They were screaming.
They were like hanging out their car door, yelling down to us. And we just stared at them trying to figure out what they wanted.
And then eventually I was like, what are you guys saying? And they were like, oh, we're just calling our dogs.
Yeah, they literally left the trail without their two dogs. But then we went down the trail, and their two dogs were playing in the river down below, and they came up to say hi to us and then ran back down to keep playing.
These two ladies could not get their dogs back from the river, and they had to, like, literally go down there and drag them up because they were just, like, one-year-old short-haired German pointers, I think, something like that.
I don't know. They were super cute.
Yeah,
kind of like funny. Black Labs, but a little bit. Different.
Yeah, thinner and like more athletic, I'd
say.
Yeah, so the China Wall was cool, and then after the China Wall, so the Bungle Bungles, little bit of backstory. Everything online is like, oh yeah, super rough road going in, like, I didn't even know about the river crossings, but there's two major river crossings, like, just really bad road, and all the comments in like everywhere I've seen was like, oh yeah, be prepared, really bad road going in. So I was like, oh, maybe we'll do like an air tour, I don't really want to drive it. But we get there, and we look up the air tours, and they're like so expensive. We're like, whatever, let's drive in, let's camp there, let's do it for real. And I'm super happy we did this.
Yeah, it was so fun. But side note, you guys should Google the Bungle Bungles, or I'll just wait for my photos, because from the Google photos from the air, they look like beehives, these mountains.
But they're massive.
They're really big and cute and funny looking. Honestly, like top three of my Australia bucket list. And
so to describe them, they're all sandstone structures that are formed in the shape of like beehive domes. And they're all very layered with black, orange, and white rocks. So it just looks like this layered beehive dome structure, and there's hundreds of them. They're everywhere.
And that's why we were like, okay, if this off-road is so hard, let's go see them from the air, because like all the Google pictures are from the sky and they look amazing. But it was like 18 minutes for way too much money.
Yeah, it was ridiculously short for too much money. So we're like, all right, let's spend... they say it's a 2-hour driving road for 53 kilometers. So that's like 2 hours to drive 30 miles, basically.
To get from the main road to the visitor center, not even to like the Bungle Bungles.
Yeah, and then it's another like 40 kilometers to your, or it's like 10K to your campsite and 40 kilometers to like the actual hiking area. And so we did it, and I'm really happy. I think I leveled up my off-roading skills again. The water crossing, the first one, unexpectedly crazy deep. Like, I think it got to the bottom of the car doors, at least. And
it was crazy. We had to drive through rivers to get to the visitor center. Like, just, it's a requirement.
Yeah, it is crazy. Just pave your roads, Australia. But I guess that I had fun doing it.
This is, like, one of their most popular national parks, and this is the road you have to take to get to the start of the national park.
We did some off-roading near Monkey Mia and Franz. What was it?
Francois Perron. Something like
national
that.
Park. And it was much better than that. That was all just like sandy track with like super, super rutted and washboard. This only had some big washboard sections, but it was actually like some technical off-roading, steep rises, descents, so many little creek crossings where you'd have to slow down. It was fun. I had a good time
driving
it.
There were two big river crossings, and the first one was huge, like we said. I'll post a video. And the second one was like another like 35 kilometers away, which takes a long time when you're off-roading. And we were getting so nervous, well, I was, because on the map it shows that the second one's a proper river crossing, like you could see the river on the map that you have to cross. And then the first one, I looked at the first one on the map, it wasn't even a river on the map. It was, so I was like, oh god, like this was just flooded from rain, like that wasn't a proper river. But turns out the second one was smaller than the
second
first
one. Was chill and it was fine going.
I was getting all nervous.
Yeah, and we got there at the perfect time. We walked right, or like we got to the visitor center when it was sunset, and we got to this lookout point that was like called Sunset Lookout or something like that, and got to watch the sunset, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Got to our camp set up and made some stir fry.
Yeah,
nice stir fry meal out in the bush.
And then the next day is when we did like the big Southern National Park walking track, where you go out to a few little viewpoints and things to see. All I think we walked like 7 miles or something.
Yeah, it was like a 10-mile hike on Strava, but it was probably really only around 8. Because when you go into like deep into the canyons, the GPS signals like bounces around and it doesn't become good. But yeah, it was like an 8-mile hike. It was massive. It was a 4-hour day of hiking, and it was so incredible.
Yeah, and going into the canyons, like the Whipsnake Gorge.
Yeah.
You get really up close to the bungle bungles, like walking amongst them. And in the beginning, I was like, Corey, like this national park is so busy. It's got to be like the most busy one in Australia. And then I quickly realized that like they put the parking lot near the most popular two little stops on this very short loop, and everyone was just on that really short loop, and then like only like 5 other people throughout the whole day were on like the long walk that we did, which is like the other things, just they're not that far from the smaller loop.
And some of those people on the hike, we were like just ahead of some people, so we would go to a lookout, they would get there, we would talk to them for a second. Go to the next lookout, we'd get there, they'd get there, we'd talk to them. And then we finally got to the end point where you turn around, and we were talking to them for a little bit, and it turns out they, like us, are trusted house sitters. We've never met anybody else using this app that we use, and they were the first ones.
Yeah, they rent out their house in Sydney, and they just travel and house sit for people just like us, and really cool. And I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, speaking of the like the people,
oh, I was gonna say they asked if we were influencers, because I mean, I think this is why they asked, but because I took a picture of Corey and I using a tripod, and they asked us to take their pictures for them, and then we didn't ask them to take our picture because we had the tripod.
Yeah,
so I think she thought that we were influencers because the tripod.
Well, maybe influencers, we'll see.
Yeah, we might be influencers soon.
But another thing about these people, well, at least the lady, there was probably a dozen women walking this hike, like with their spouses or whatever, and every single one of them looked the exact same. Like shortish blonde hair, like
plain Jane,
upper middle
cute
age, and they're everywhere in the park.
Maybe.
Yeah,
yeah. And then one of those like people we kept seeing, it was like a group of 3 women, and we all like did the same like walking path, and we saw them at the very last one, and it was like so anticlimactic because we must have seen like all the best things further.
Yeah,
into,
we saw
like,
the best stuff first, and then this was just like, this was made for like the short loop. You'd be like, oh, check this one out, and then go check the really nice one out. So it wasn't really much of a lookout, and we were just sitting there.
Yeah, we were just sitting there, and she literally, me and Corey both agreed that we weren't even going to take a picture at this location of like the canyon, or the cave, kind
of. Yeah, it was like a little cave.
We were like, this one's this one does not compare to like all the other ones we took pictures of, so not worth the photo. We both agreed. And then this woman who's also there with us, she wasn't listening to us or anything, but she goes, "Can you guys like get out of my photo so I can take a picture?" And then I was like, I was shocked. So I was like, "Oh yeah," and I like started to leave, and Corey didn't quite like understand what she was asking, cuz normal people don't say that. And he was like, "Oh, you want me to leave?" And he had to like grab all his stuff cuz he was sitting all comfortably on the floor of the canyon and get out of her picture so she could take a picture of like the most boring looking cave when she had already seen all the very cool ones along the further walk.
Yeah, and then I think she felt bad. She was like, "Oh no, just move for the picture." But we were like, "No, we're just leaving."
Yeah, we just left. Wasn't worth it.
Not worth it whatsoever. But I really liked the Bungle Bungles. The road going out was the same going in. It's one in and out. But, like, we had to do more of the day because, like, we already traveled another 40 Ks in. So it took us, like, 3 hours getting out of the park, so.
Yeah. And then we saw a dingo on the way out.
We saw multiple dingoes.
And then on the main road on the way out, we saw another dingo.
Yeah.
And
he was pooping.
He was literally, like, bent over like a dog, looking back at us, driving by, making eye contact while he was having a bowel movement.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, because you think of, like, dingoes as, like, wild animals, and we caught them at a vulnerable time.
Just like Salty.
Yeah.
But I've been really impressed with this drive from Broome to Darwin. Like, Marshall did not want to do it. He was like over the travel, and he was like, "This one's gonna be just long driving days." But no, like, we've been really enjoying it. Like, the scenery is very beautiful.
It's unlike anything I expected. So on the map, it's just like looks like arid nothingness, and there's so many mountains, and it's like canyonland in the United States, basically, like Arizona, Utah, like that area with all the Grand Canyon and stuff. Smaller scale, but goes on endlessly. And just this driving through changing landscape is pretty amazing. And the next main stop we stopped at was Lake Argyle.
Right? Yep.
Yeah.
And like, that's a man-made dam, obviously. It's a man-made lake because it's a dam.
Yeah, the biggest lake in Australia, I think. Biggest man-made lake
in
Australia.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It was impressive. It is huge.
It has the largest population of freshwater crocodiles, but they're very timid and are unbothered by people for the most part. As
Google says.
Yeah, Google says this, and they're like basically the opposite of saltwater crocodiles.
And we haven't seen a salty or a freshy yet.
Yeah. I think we'll see them in a soonish.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this Lake Argyle Caravan Park has this like iconic pool where everyone who Googles Lake Argyle, like this picture comes up of their infinity pool overlooking the lake. And it's really, really, really beautiful. And I didn't realize that like this caravan park is like the only thing on the lake.
Yeah, there's no other accommodation on the lake. It's just this one place. They have a complete monopoly over it.
Not even accommodation. Like, I don't even think there's, like, a town on the lake.
No, there's nothing.
There's, like, nothing.
Yeah. But there were mountain bike trails. These were the first proper mountain bike trail system since Perth. It's been, like, 3,200 miles or something like that. I mapped it out since the last mountain biking proper trail network. So we got the bike back in action. It hasn't just been dragged along lately. It was a good loop. I mean, it wasn't really well maintained, but it was solid. I would ride. If we stayed at the park longer, I'd go for another ride. And it was a cool park, though. Like, you could ride right from the park there. And, we had a good time chilling at the infinity pool. And it's just funny to see, like, the iconic, like, Instagrammer spot being just like a caravan park.
Yeah, no, I'm so shocked. But every single guest at this pool, at this caravan park, was taking turns getting into the pool and getting their picture taken at the beautiful edge of it.
So we were waiting to go in. I was going to take Maxie's picture, and then we're going to have someone take our picture. And Maxie's like walking over to the one like corner that has a good view. And
because I waited for someone to finish, and then I was already in the pool going over.
And then here comes this man, just probably like in a 65-year-old dude, just basically belly flops in the pool and swims.
Splashed me too.
Yeah, causes a little bit of a scene, swims over to the spot and has his pictures taken first.
I think he dove in and then did like
a race swim.
Yeah, a race swim over, and it was just so rude, honestly, but and then he took bad pictures of Corey and I after.
Yeah, yeah, he was the only one around to take our pictures, so I had to ask him.
So I'm gonna post just a picture of me there, but
yeah, Lake Argyle was really cool. I'd go back and spend some more time there, I think. It was nice.
Yeah, and we checked out the actual dam.
Oh, so there's been this dilemma in my head if I like dams or I don't like dams. I mean, they are the coolest thing ever, and I'm totally, after seeing this dam, I'm pro dam. Dams are awesome. They create so much energy and power. They completely change landscapes. I love dams.
I think the changing of the landscape is, like, why
people don't like it.
Yeah.
But I'm pro. I like it.
I don't know if I like dams.
Yeah.
Seeing the water shoot out so forcefully was very fascinating to stare at.
Yeah. The whole area was filled with water. You think of Australia being, like, waterless. This, like, central outback area had rivers that were racing all from this one dam. That was really cool to see.
Yep, and then we crossed over into the Northern Territory. So, was there anything in Kununurra? I just know that I had SOS service in that town, which was so rude because normally I get service in the towns, but this town, no.
Kununurra didn't really have anything. It was just
a place we could go to the grocery store and got coffee.
Fuel up, get some first place that actually had cheap gas since, oh my God, Carvana, I don't even know.
But anyways, this area was right on the edge of, like, Western Australia and the Northern Territory. So we had to cross over into the Northern Territory, and as soon as we did that, the roads became really not that nice.
Yeah. And fun fact, we were looking at, I don't know why you looked this up, but we were like, oh, how many states are there? We've been to every state in Australia. We landed in Canberra, Queensland. Yeah, Queensland, Melbourne. All right, Victoria, whatever. We've been to all of them.
We've been to all of them, not Queensland on this 2024 trip yet, but we're going to get there in a few weeks.
And then Maxie looks it up.
We went there in 2019.
And turns out the Northern Territory isn't even a state. It's just like a territory, similar to the Capital Territory.
Canberra.
But it's just one of the biggest land masses ever. So I don't know why they don't make it a state. Maybe there's not enough population. Maybe, I don't really know. But yeah. Fun fact, Northern Territory is not a state, it's just a territory of Australia.
It reminds me of like Oklahoma. It's very rugged and like
rugged
country.
Is a great word to describe it.
But it's super cool. And our first stop here was Katherine. So we're no longer in the Kimberley region of Australia. We're in Katherine.
Yes, so Katherine is about, if you're don't know, I didn't know where Katherine was. It's 3 hours south of Darwin. So if you just go ahead straight down to Darwin.
Darwin's like the top middle.
Yeah, top middle. So Katherine is 3 hours down from the top middle. And didn't really seem like much to do there, but it was loaded with fun stuff. Like there's one national park called the Katherine Gorge or the Nitmiluk or something like that.
Nitmiluk
National Park. They change names here a lot to suit Aboriginal names.
Preferences, yeah. So yeah, I had the national park on our itinerary, but we discovered that they had natural hot springs.
Oh, so nice.
Which honestly was the bigger highlight of this town for
definitely.
So we stayed at this caravan park not too far, and Corey convinced me to go on a run to the hot springs in the evening when we arrived, and it was so pretty. And we went back in the morning, and they had a poppin' cafe right above it.
Mm-hmm.
And we swam down it. You start at the top, and then it flows pretty strong.
Oh, it's so fun. It's like a little lazy river, but it goes fast in some parts. And the water comes from, like, another river.
For the Cutta Cutta Caves.
Yeah, that is, like, 100 miles away, and it goes underground for that period of time before popping out right in Katherine, and it's all warm and just really nice.
Yeah, it was so like clear, and it looked blue when you were looking at it from above. And I think they like warn you that crocodiles could come up.
Yeah,
but
no shot.
There were just like so many people here. It was like all the tourists and all the locals. And we floated down. It got narrow in some areas, and there
were some orb spiders.
Yeah, some orb spiders chilling very comfortably in their nestled in their webs above us, unbothered by everyone floating beneath them.
Those were big boys, but everyone was doing it. So
no, you could tell that they're very unbothered by anything going on. Like, they are set and settled in their web.
Yeah.
So we floated down, chilled in the hot springs, and then we went back to the top. And we went into, like, the origin of where the water comes out. It comes out of this cave, and we were chilling in there. That's where the locals, we met a few couples in there. They are definitely, like, Australians, and they taught us about the orb spider. And then Corey went on the rope swing that only the children were doing.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, it was so much fun. I loved that little rope swing. It was a blast.
Yeah, I think we'll go back there because on the road
we have to
go
back,
and from Darwin, yeah, you have to go through Catherine. But
yeah, so I think we skipped over the Catherine Gorge hike and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think, was that the same day that we went?
We went to the after.
Oh, we went to the gorge after?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the next thing we did after...
I didn't skip nothing.
You didn't skip nothing, no. We went to this national park called Nitmaluk, Catherine Gorge, and there was a couple hikes you could do, and another thing, there was, like, swimming holes they offered. They're like, oh, here's a couple, but, like, most of them were long day hikes, like, 30-kilometer round trip, 25, like, I think but there was a short one that was still going to be long. It was, I think, 6 miles, round trip.
Yeah, we were just, like, starting late in the day
to,
like,
probably
be committing to a long, long hike.
But we're like, all right, this one has swimming, called something Rock Hole. And it was a beautiful hike out there. I mean, I enjoyed the actual hiking. It was pretty easy and...
Yeah, it was nice.
Well-maintained. They had, like, these water tanks everywhere, or, like, in certain spots where you could fill up your water while you're out there. Super nice.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
But then we get to the area where it's like, all right, turn left here, and you go down to the swimming hole. And that part was, like, rugged boulders and just not really well maintained or traversed. There wasn't really anyone around. And we finally got down there, and it was just, first off, no markings of where the swimming hole was. There was a big hole with water in it, filled with, like, green algae, little tadpoles, gross fish. And then we walked to the actual, like, river gorge, and there's a sign that says, no swimming. Boo-hoo.
'Cause?
Crocodile.
Yeah, we are in croc country, and the saltwater crocodiles are very aggressive. Like, they will stalk you.
I think they're one of the only animals that, like, actively attack humans or something.
Yeah,
like
they'll, like, see you. I don't know how, like, common this is, but, like, they are known to stalk you from the water, and they could run, like, up to, like, 3 meters out of the water to, like, snatch someone up. So they take it very seriously here, and we are taking it very seriously as well. But that national park,
yeah, it was okay.
It was like everyone was on a boat tour up the river where they could stop at all the gorges. And, like, the visitor center, like, it was designed like a sales pitch. Like, and first off, no one was talking to us. I think we had to stand in line to buy a tour to get someone to give us information. And yeah, it was like a gift shop and tour sales instead of, like, good info about the trails, which we didn't like. Everyone seemed to be doing these tours.
Tours everywhere. They just
we
wanted to sell
you.
We
barely saw anyone on the hike.
Yeah, they wanted to sell you on it. I don't know. It just wasn't really our style, a national park.
Australians do national parks different. Like, Americans, when we go to a national park, we're committing to, like, an all-day, like, adventure. Australians want, like, the easiest way to see the cool thing.
They want to off-road to get there. They want to take a boat to get there. There was some biking trails there that were... I've been on 3 bikes since Perth, and it was probably my least favorite. It just wasn't good, wasn't well-built.
Oh, yeah, right after our hike, Corey went biking.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's trails here. You got to see what they're like, you know. They could be really good, could be well-built trails, but they're just trash, honestly. They're so bad. Like, all the trails since Perth have not been that good. But I'm happy to be riding.
Yeah, and we saw a goanna.
Oh, that guy was crazy looking.
Well, Corey saw it, and then he showed me, and he was watching us. which is like a big, big lizard.
Yeah, he had his eyes on us. Like, we spotted him and he tuckered away, and then we started looking at him more just to see what it was, because it looked like a little snake head. He has a really long neck, so it looked like, oh, I was like, oh, is that a snake or a, what is it? And then it started looking at us, so it was going to come after us.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was too small to do anything. Yeah, but that was cool. Not my favorite national park, but no. Glad we saw it.
No, we might stop by it again, because like we said, we have to drive through Catherine again. But, yeah.
Yeah, and oh, on the way back, I think we were following this guy, and he had a weird-looking truck that said Mangoes. this one might have been the first night, but we were going into our caravan park, and this guy had a mango truck. And then he pulled up right next to us when we finally got settled into our spot at the park. And asked us if we wanted to buy some either frozen mangoes or fresh dried mangoes. Fresh dried mangoes, the best mangoes I've ever had in my life.
They are, I don't know, I think that the sun-dried fruit that we buy in the U.S. is not properly sun-dried, because this was labeled like naturally sun-dried mangoes right here in Catherine. It was so delicious. Like,
phenomenal. We still have the frozen ones that weren't as good. I don't think they're kind of like, we kind of let them defrost, so they're a little slimy.
Yeah, it's like baby food consistency, but it's still really good. But the dried ones were so good.
Yeah.
Like, phenomenal. I want naturally sun-dried fruit in all different fashions.
There's a plane going by. Actually, a helicopter.
But yeah, in the Northern Territory, we've, like, noticed a few, like, random little fires on the side of the roads.
Oh, yeah, we were first noted, like, right when we got into the state, we drove by one, and we were like, holy cow, the flames are right there. Like, it was, like, 3 feet of flames going right by us, or where we're driving right by them, and we're like, oh, that's weird, but all over this area, there's just, like fires everywhere. But I don't know if it's, I think it's because they're doing controlled burns, because this is the start of the dry season.
I don't know, no one's around.
But I think that's what they do, they just burn, and then so they don't have a really big fire.
Or we'll just like keep driving and then we'll see just a dead branch on the side of the road smoldering.
Yeah,
you won't see any flames or anything, but it'll have like a big like stream of smoke.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and you met somebody.
I met someone?
Not somebody.
No.
You met the dude in the kitchen.
Oh, yes. I like this. So, at our camp kitchen, this man started talking to me as we were washing dishes, and he was super nice, and he was telling me about his, friend. He acquired a friend along his road trip, and she's from China, and he was telling me that her car broke down in the bungle. She actually rolled it, and he like had just met her like a few times. They ran into each other along the road trip, and he like came to rescue her, and she's living with him now, and he's gonna take her back to Sydney so she could fly back to China. He was such a nice guy. He had to have been like in his upper 60s. And then he was like, where are you from? And I said, the States. And he looked shocked for a second, and then he like was overcome with this really, really warm smile. And he goes, I've never met an American before. And honestly, I honestly don't know how that's possible, especially if he's been traveling for 2 years since he retired. But it was just such a nice moment where I felt honored to be, like, the American that
proud to be an American.
Yes, of course, proud to be American, but, like, are honored to be the first one that he's ever met.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was talking to Gabe in the background, and I just waved hello, but I didn't know how special of a moment it was for him.
Yeah, and he was like a little earth angel for his little friend who he rescued.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
He was a really cool guy. And oh, that also, that, so this park we were at was, it was a great park. We got like, the first park we went to was like, ah, no, we have no space for you here. And then this one was like, oh yeah, we got plenty of space. And the lady actually was there after hours and checked us in on our first night there. And our second night, we decided we wanted to stay in an unpowered site, save a little money. And so the unpowered area is basically just a field with a bunch of trees in it. And it was huge. Like, you probably could have fit 500 cars.
Yeah.
And it was a busy night. There was probably, there was a lot of people, but there was nowhere near max capacity of unpowered sites. And so we're just having dinner, just sitting by with our lights by our car, and these people come up to us and they're like, hey, can we pitch our tents right next to you? I know it's a little close, but would you mind? I'm like, what are you going to do in that situation? Saying no? So
yeah, I was like, yeah, go for it. But honestly, like, I didn't understand why they needed to ask.
There was so much room, but they were, it was like a tight spot between us and the next person that a car wouldn't really go. You could probably fit a car, like, I mean,
I didn't think it was that tight, but maybe, like, you, as a like, driver.
As, like, someone who knows about, like, space and camping, like, it wasn't the
biggest.
It wasn't enough to fit another campsite, like, even another car in between. So, it was just, like, empty space. So, I guess, like, them camping there, they could have gone anywhere else in the park. And so, I mean, we don't really do much. We go to bed at, like, 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Sometimes 8:30.
Yeah.
Oh, we, like, go up to our bed at 8.
But these people were quiet. They were fine all day until, like, 10:30 at night. They come back loud as owls.
It was only three of them, too.
Three of them. And then I hear one of them say, oh, I forgot to pump up my mattress. And then this girl is like, I don't know if you ever know the sound of like a mattress air pump, like manual one that you step on, kind of sounds, I don't know, like a wheezing, loud clicking noise. And she was doing that probably for an hour, trying to pump up her mattress. Probably an hour.
And I woke up and I was like, what is that noise?
Yeah,
and Corey was like, this girl is trying to pump up a mattress. And I was like, I need my earplugs. So next thing I know, I thought Corey was going to like hand me my earplugs. And he unzips our little tent door. And he goes, can you be a little bit quieter, please? And Corey does not speak up to like anyone. No offense, Corey. But like he's very, doesn't want to ruffle anyone's feathers usually
what
ever.
What she was doing was wrong.
And I was, like, woken up from a dead sleep, so I thought I was dreaming that Corey was speaking up to someone like this. And she goes, oh, I just have to pump up my mattress. And Corey goes, yeah, but you've been doing it for over 20 minutes, so can you hurry up?
Yeah.
And then he, like, zipped up the tent again, and I couldn't believe it. I like.
And then she stopped after that, yeah.
Yeah, and then I like, literally laid there being like, was this a dream that Corey just had, like,
but then they were so loud
arguing with someone.
Yeah, they were just so loud in the morning, though. They were like zipping and unzipping their tent, like,
oh my god, not the morning, all night. I couldn't sleep. I had the worst night's sleep there because I think the guy that they were with, so it was like two girls and a guy, he kept unzipping the tent probably every 7 minutes all throughout the night and like sighing loudly. I don't know if he was hot or if he couldn't sleep. It was a cold night, so I don't know what was going on. And then he would get up a few times, go to the bathroom right outside. I could hear everything. And
yeah, just
get back in his tent, unzip it again, re-zip it.
Just people don't have good camping etiquette.
I'm a light sleeper, so I'm really happy to say that we have finally made it to the end of our 4-week road trip.
Yeah.
And we are in Darwin.
Yes, we made it to Darwin.
Yeah, our 4-week road trip, constantly staying at caravan parks, will be coming to a halt.
Yes, yes.
And then we'll be able to do some more house sits now that we're not constantly on the go. But let's tell them about Darwin.
Oh yeah, Darwin, I didn't really know what to expect here. It's like, I think in the hot season, in the summer, it would be pretty miserable because everyone describes it as being like this tropical rainforest. But honestly, like, it's like very dry and it's really nice right now. So I give it a thumbs up for the winter weather. It's really nice.
Yeah,
town
it's
was
beautiful.
Was chill. There was a big casino. There was farmers. Or not really. There's just markets, like sunset markets that we walked through.
Mendel Beach Sunset Markets.
Yeah, a lot of, like, military history because it was really started for military, like, I think American military here during World War II to, like, keep our, like, a base for, like, just for the Japanese, I don't know. And it was actually attacked during the Pearl Harbor attacks that were on Hawaii. It was also attacked in Darwin here. So there was a bunch of war memorial stuff about it. Pretty interesting history. I like it. I'm a fan of Darwin.
Yeah, I'm a big fan because especially multiple people tried to like make it sound scary, and I didn't know what to expect. And we get here, and it is like the most regular place. There's normal people all around. The town center is nice. The parks are nice. The playground.
Fine.
Crazy nice.
Oh, there's a crazy, crazy slide.
Honestly, kind of dangerous.
Yeah, you have to climb up probably like 30 yards into the air, 60 feet or 90 feet in the air, and then a slide that goes straight down.
Yeah, it's honestly dangerous for kids, and we saw kids doing it. The parks are just on crack here in Australia.
Yeah.
But I really like Darwin.
And yeah, I'm a fan. Oh, when we went to a coffee shop, we go to a lot of coffee shops around here, and just this lady kind of refused to take Maxie's order. Well, she was first like, hey, can I have this? Her menu has gluten-free, dairy-free options. And she was like, oh, can I do this one gluten-free, dairy-free? And they were like, you could do it gluten-free, but not dairy-free, and dairy-free, but not gluten-free. So, I don't know. It was kind of annoying because she was being annoying because Maxie was like, all right, I'll have this, but I want it gluten-free, dairy-free. And she was like, sorry, can't do that. And then Maxwell's like, all right, fine, I'll just have the granola. And she was like, well, granola isn't really gluten-free. And then Max was like, all right, whatever, I don't, just give me that coffee.
Yeah, I literally said, okay, then I'll have nothing.
Yeah.
And Corey was laughing. But anyways, we walked around Darwin, and then today Corey went on a bike ride
here. Charles Darwin National Park, another cool biking area, very like Florida style trails that are like windy, but the dirt was just so weird, like not grippy as really rocky, and I don't know, like these jagged like coral volcanic rocks that weren't really that fun to ride on. It was a good park for what it is, but I thought it'd be a little smoother. It was fun, glad I did it.
Yeah, and Corey told me he has thoughts about something that he wanted to share on the podcast, but he wouldn't tell me, so let's find out.
So everyone kind of knows that I love off-roading, but I love it in a way that I didn't really like it. Like, it stresses me out, basically. Going off-roading, it's stressful. Like, the car we're in, I don't want anything to go wrong because this is, like, our home for the year. So I'm, like, always worried about something happening. And so I always went into like off-roading with like, this isn't really that fun. I just have to get through it.
But now, he's a mountain biker.
Yeah. But now I think I like off-roading and I want to do more of it. Like, I'm open to the idea of going down to like Uluru just to do more like adventures off trail and that kind of thing. Because, like, when you look on it, like, a lot of the cool places in Australia, like the Bungle Bungles, off-roading takes you there. So it is really cool to go places where, like, not many other people can go, or, like, it's harder to get to. So I see the appeal in off-roading. I think I want to do it more. I'm going to be really happy when we get new tires and a service on this car. So then we'll be set. And I'm excited for more beach driving in once we get to Queensland, and yeah, so those are my thoughts and revelations.
Sweet.
That I'm not saying that I like off-roading. I actually do like it now.
If you're listening to this, feel free to Venmo me so we can get new tires. But no, I like off-roading too. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I was going to say our car was literally built for it. We bought our car from some 18, 19-year-old who basically used it strictly to off-road.
Yeah.
For fun. Our car is chilling. Like, I don't know. I get why you're stressed because you're the driver. But, like, I think the car
can do anything.
The car can do it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's basically everything. We are, like I said, the four-week road trip is done. And we're about to go on a trip.
Yeah, a little, I guess it's a little early for a honeymoon trip. I mean, an anniversary trip, but, I mean, we're here. So we're going to send it over. Any guesses? Take your guesses.
Are we telling them on this podcast?
Yeah, no, tell them.
We're going to Bali.
Yeah, we're going to Bali. He said that with a laugh.
Yeah, we actually wanted to go there on our honeymoon because it was so close to like Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore. But we ended up just choosing Singapore over Bali.
Anyways, yeah, so we're sending out to Bali for 2 weeks-ish, a little longer.
Yeah, technically an anniversary trip, but to see Bali and like the surrounding islands, they say you need like 2 weeks. So we're doing our 2 weeks to see the place, you know. We're not like being bougie and celebrating our anniversary for 2 weeks, but we will because life is worth celebrating, right? So
well, I mean, we're like down here, flights are cheap from Darwin, so we're like, oh, let's send it out there.
And our next house, it is like a little, it's a bit of a drive past Darwin once we're back, and it'll start pretty soon after we arrive over back
starts
in Queensland.
Starts in like a month, so
yeah, so we'll do our little trip and then
get refreshed for another long drive all to the East Coast.
Yeah, I was so excited for Bali. Our flight is in a few hours.
Yeah, so that's it for this week, guys.
Yeah,
next week you'll join us in Bali.
Yay!
Yeah, with maybe a surprise guest.
Yeah, we will probably have a, well, it depends on when we record, but we will have a little guest.
Yeah, and thank you guys all for listening. We love you all.
We love you. And if you can't visit us in Australia, we can meet up somewhere else.
Facts.
Like this guest. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Have a good day.
Have a good day.